ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter 16, King Titiketu meets the Lord, text 28. Tata sapta patranete. Vijaya Daryam Yam Yanaya Vijada Dipatyam Cha Gavhe Apratiham Nipa Tata Sat Sapta Ratranete Vijayaya Darya Mayaya Vijadarya Deepajam Cha Vibhe Apratiham Nipa Word for word, tata, from this, sa, he, sapta, ratra, sapta, ratra, ante, at the end of 7 nights, vijaya, by the prayers. Dharmyaya, being carefully practiced. Vijadara, Adipatyam, mastership of Vijadara as an intermediate result. Cha, also, Abhe achieved Apritiham Tam undeviated from the instructions of the spiritual master. Nipa, O King Prishi. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O King Prichi, after only 1 week of repeatedly practicing the mantra received from the spiritual master, Chittaketu achieved the rule of the planet of Vidyadharas as an intermediate product of his devotional, of his spiritual advancement and knowledge. Purport. If a devotee, after being initiated, adheres rigidly to the instructions of the spiritual master, he is naturally endowed with the material opulences, the Vijadhara Api Apatyam, and similar posts as byproducts. A devotee need not practice yoga, karma, or jnana to achieve the results, successful result. Devotional service is alone competent to award a devotee all material power. A pure devotee, however, is never attached to material power, although he gets it very easily without endeavor. Chittaketu received this side benefit of devotional service, which he readily performed in accordance with the instructions of Narada. Text number 29. Tata kritipyai hobir vijayeda Mano Gati Jagata Jaka Jagat Ma Deva Deva Sha Shashasya Charnartikam. Translation. Thereafter, within a very few days, by the influence of the mantra that Chittaketu had practiced, his mind became increasingly enlightened in spiritual progress. He takes shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Ananta. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. That's what he told me. Right? Oh, he told me 27, 28 and 29. No. He told me the wrong thing. Anyway, 27 says, fasting and drinking holy water, Chittaketu, for 1 week, continued to chant with care and attention the mantra given by Narada Muni. In today's verse, O King Parikshit, after only 1 week of repeated practicing the mantra received from the spiritual master, Chittaketu achieved the rule of the plant of Vidyadharas as an intermediate product of his spiritual advancement of knowledge. I shouldn't read 29? All right. And purport, verse number 29. Devotee's ultimate achievement is to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord in any one of the planets in the spiritual sky. As a result of rigid execution of devotional service, a devotee receives all material opulences if these are required. Otherwise, the devotee is not interested in material opulences, nor does the Supreme Lord award them. When a devotee is actually engaged in devotional service to the Lord, apparently material opulences are not material. They are all spiritual. For example, if a devotee spends money to construct a beautiful and costly temple, the construction is not material but spiritual. Nirbandhan Krishna Sambandha Yukta Vairagya Uchite. The devotee's mind is never diverted to the material side of the temple. The bricks, stone, or wood used in the construction of the temple are spiritual. Yes, as a deity, although made of stone, is not stone, but the Supreme Personality of God in Himself. The more one advances in spiritual consciousness, the more one can understand the elements of devotional service. Nothing in devotional service is material. Everything is spiritual. Consequently, devotees are awarded so-called material opulence for spiritual advancement. This opulence is an aid to help the devotee advance toward the spiritual kingdom. Thus, Maharaj Chittaketu remained in material opulences as Vidyadharapati, master of the Vidyadharas, and by executing devotional service, he became perfect within a very few days, returned home back to Gaura, taking shelter of lotus feet of Lord Sesha Ananta. A karmi's material opulence and a devotee's material opulence are not on the same level. Srila Madhvacharya comments in this way, Yantarai ya minam vishnum upasyan ya sanipya gaha bhavad yoga jai tasya padamba pranuyam Naraha. By worshipping Lord Vishnu, one gets whatever he desires, but a pure devotee never asks Lord Vishnu for any material benefit. Instead, he serves the Lord Vishnu. Instead, he serves Lord Vishnu without material desires, as therefore ultimately transferred to the spiritual kingdom. In this regard, Sri Viraraga Raghava Acharya comments, Yetesh Teshta Gatir Itiar Taha. By worshipping Vishnu, a devotee can get whatever he likes. Maharaj Chittaketu wanted only to return home back to Godhead. Therefore, he achieves success in that way. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sabitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamadam Danti Swabhadanti Kam Mancha Kopa Chivyascha Pibya Sindhu Vivicha Harinam Bhavyo Harishnevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasri Gaur Bhakti Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 There was no purport to 27. 28 has a short purport, and 29 has a long purport, and they're all interrelated. So we're discussing 29 today. It says thereafter, within a few days, very few days, by the influence of the mantra of Chittaketua practice, his mind became increasingly enlightened in spiritual progress. Thus he attained his shelter, lotus feet of Lord Anantadev. So there's two topics we want to discuss here today. One is how a devotee gets, what happens when a devotee receives opulences. And the other topic is what it says here, he attained the lotus feet of Anantadev. So first we'll discuss what devotees get material opulences. Chittaketu amazingly fasted, drank only water for 1 week, and they got the rule of the heavenly planet called Vidyadhara. The Vidyadharas are mentioned in the fifth canto. They offer prayers to the Lord, and they this planet where the apsaras, or the heavenly damsels, live. But this was an intermediate product. It wasn't the what he desired. It wasn't the ultimate benefit of his devotional service. So it was a side effect. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita that Aniyas Chintyantomam Dedina Purupsate Tesam Nitya Biyuktanam Yoga Semam Bihami Aham. To those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating in my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So there's one Brahmin, one person, his name was Arjunacharya, and he was a poor Brahmin, Vaishnava. He was studying Bhagavad Gita, and he came upon this verse, and it says, Yoga Semam Bihami Aham. I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So aham, I, he crossed out that word aham because he thought that Krishna, he knew that Krishna could do everything, but he thought Krishna would not come personally to serve his devotee. So he crossed off that word aham. Then he went to the market. Every day he would go to the market and beg some sabjis and some fruits. So he went to the market. But that day the market was closed. And then while he was at the market, two boys came to his house. His wife answered the door, and he saw these two beautiful boys. One was blackish and one was white. And they said, well, we know the market's closed today, so we brought this sabji for you. But she noticed that the two boys had scratch marks on their forehead. So she said, well, how terrible, who has done this to you? And they said, well, your husband did that. So, and then they left the subject and went away. And she was so disturbed how her husband could be so cruel that she took prasadam before her husband came home. And generally the etiquette, the wife never eats before the husband. Then the husband came home and she said, how could you be so cruel to those two beautiful boys? And he said, what are you talking about? He said, well, two boys came to our house, and one was white and one was blackish, and they had scratch marks on their forehead. So he could understand that he made a mistake in crossing out the word aham, that Krishna actually can come personally and carry what they lack and preserve what they have. So a devotee need not make a separate endeavor for opulence or to be materially comfortable in this world. It's like Sudama Brahman. He was so poor, and him and his wife were very poor, and they were shivering, and they couldn't get sufficient food or clothes. But he was never asked anybody for anything. And so he just accepted it as the will of Providence. So his wife told him, you go to your friend Lord Krishna and ask him for, she thought maybe he could help improve his material condition. So Sudama Brahman, on the request of his wife, went to see his friend Lord Krishna. But he didn't want to ask the Lord for anything material. So when he did go to see Krishna, Krishna received him very well and honored him as a Brahmin. And then when he left, he thought Krishna didn't give him anything. But when he went back to his village where he used to live, it wasn't a village anymore. It became a palace, as opulent the King of Heaven, and his wife wasn't his wife anymore. Or she was his wife, but she had got a new body, rejuvenated, beautiful body, and he also got a new body, rejuvenated new body. But they got that opulence, they didn't misuse it. If someone gets a gift, opulence, something opulent, if he misuses it, that's the gift of Maya. But if he uses it in devotional service, that's the mercy of the Lord. So Krishna gave Sudama Brahman so much opulence, but he knew that he would not forget the Lord and not misuse it. It says here, Nibandhan Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagya Uchite, that whatever we utilize in the service of Krishna, then it becomes spiritual. The same thing with Bali Maharaj. He was a Lord Vamadev. Bali Maharaj was the king of the demons and conquered over the three worlds. So the demigods approached the Lord for help. So the Lord went to Bali Maharaj as Vamadev, dwarf incarnation. And he asked Bali Maharaj, Balamara says, what do you want? I can give you charity. So Vamadeva said, I want 3 steps of land. So Balamara said, well, I have so much land, and you're only asking 3 steps. That's not very intelligent. But Tukacharya was the spiritual master of Balamara, and he was a materialistic person, not a Vaishnava Brahmin, not a Vaishnava spiritual master. So he told Bali Maharaj, don't give Vamanadev anything because he's Lord Vishnu. If you give him what he wants, he'll take everything from you and I won't get my family maintenance. So therefore, you don't have to give him anything. But Bali Maharaj didn't listen to, he rejected his spiritual master because he gave him the wrong advice. So Vamanadev took 2 steps and covered the whole material, everything in the material world. Then he said to Bali Maharaj, Where should I put my third step? Because I've already taken everything. So Balaraj said, you can put your third step on my head. So, but Vamadeva was not satisfied with that. So he arrested Bali Maharaj with a snake rope and threw him in a cave. But ultimately, he gave Bali Maharaj Sutala, a place in the lower planetary system called Sutala, and he gave more opulence than the King of Heaven. And Vamadeva became his doorman. And when Ravana came to attack the capital city of Bali Maharaj, Vamana kicked him 80,000 miles. So in this way, also Bali Maharaj was given so much opulence, but he didn't misuse it for his own sense gratification. He used it just for the purpose of he continued to practice devotional service and be a devotee. But if devotees, sometimes devotees may inherit a lot of money and may give up the practice of devotional service, become enamored. The material energy is very strong. So a devotee may become enamored and leave Krishna consciousness. So this is not Krishna's mercy, this is a gift of Maya. If someone gets material opulences and causes them to leave devotional service, then it's the gift of Maya. The Prabhupada also says in here, temple construction. Rupa Goswami says we should not over endeavor for mundane achievements, constructing buildings, skyscrapers, and things. But Nectar Devotion says this does not apply to temples. We should endeavor to build temples, to build costly temples. As Prabhupada was in Mayapur, and some man came to see him and asked him, why did you build this temple? He asked Prabhupada, why did you build this temple? And Prabhupada said, if I didn't build this temple, you wouldn't come here. So the devotees, we don't need big temples, but we construct big temples so the public, those who are entangled in material life, can get an opportunity to take the devotional service or get purified. But Prabhupada also said that he was in a conversation with Romaswar Prabhu. He said that the BBT would give 50% of whatever their income for constructing temples and 50% for printing books. But Prabhupada said, he stressed the fact that book distribution was more important and that should not be stopped in any circumstance. Because the book distribution is what Bhakti Siddhanta wanted and is the Brihat Madanga. You can do street kirtan and the chanting will be heard for a very short distance. But if we distribute books, then those books can go all over the world. And we've seen in many cases, people have gotten books and they weren't interested. They gave the book to someone else and that person read the book and became a devotee. And if people get a book, they may not read it, but people don't throw away books. They keep them on their bookshelf. So it's like a time bomb. It can have an effect in 1 year, for 10 years, or 20 years even. Sometimes people had seen that book on their bookshelf and didn't look at a Krishna book or Bhagavad Gita, and after 20 years they decided to look at the book and they read it and they became devotees. So Prabhupada wanted all these things, temple construction and book distribution, to go on side by side. But he stressed the book distribution. So here it says, the deity is not made of material elements. So someone sees the deity as made of stone or wood, it's considered that he has a hellish mentality. But the deity is there because we have material eyes and we can't see something spiritual. So Lord agreed to accept that form at the time of Pran Pratistha, when the installation, the deity agreed, the Lord agrees to enter into that form. And the form of the Lord, the form of the deity are non-different. In such an Ananda. So, but the deity form is like the post office. The post office has its main office and has so many boxes where you can put your mail and it will get delivered. So the box represents the post office. So the deity in the temple is the Lord, but if something happens to the deity, the Lord is not affected. It's not that something's happening to the Lord. Because the Lord can enter that form and he can withdraw himself from that form at any time. This is all arrangements of Yoga Maya. So here it says that King Chittatu to attain the lotus feet of Ananta. Ananta is an expansion of Lord Sesha or Lord Balaram. He has four arms and white complexion. He's not Krishna, but he's Balaram. So attain the lotus feet of the Lord is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam at least over 4,000 times. The lotus feet of the Lord is a very important. Generally in the material world, someone's feet is not very attractive. When we look at a person, we don't think their feet very attractive. But the lotus feet of the Lord is different. And the lotus feet of the Lord has 19 different symbols, signs on it. Signs of the Lord are, there are signs of skies encircling each other, externally. Below that is an unstrung bow. Below that is a calf's hoof. Below that calf's hoof is a triangle. Around its four sides are four water pots. There are below the triangle is a half moon, and its two ends are touching the two corners of the base of the triangle. Below the half moon is a fish. Thus there are 11 markings on the right foot, 8 markings on the left foot, Sri Krishna, and there are thus a total of 19 markings on the beautiful decorated lotus feet of the Lord. And tomorrow is Radhastami, so we get the privilege of seeing the lotus feet of Radharani. And this is only happens two times a year, once on Radhastami, one on Gopastami. And Radharani's name is not mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam because Radharani is very confidential. Just like if you have something valuable and you go to the Lord Bazaar, you want to keep it hidden so no one knows you have something valuable. So Sukadeva Goswami didn't mention Radharani's name because he considered her name very valuable. And also, if he spoke her name, he would have gone into samadhi or trance for 6 months. He couldn't continue speaking. So tomorrow we get the darshan, which will be at 7:30, of Lord Radharani's beautiful lotus feet. So I worship Sri Radha, whose lotus feet are endowed with 19 great auspicious markings, of which on the left foot are 11 markings of an umbrella, disc, flag, vine, flower, bracelet, lotus, upward line, elephant goad, half moon, barley corn. On the right foot are 8 markings, the Shakti, club, chariot, sacrificial order, earrings, fish, mountain, and conch shell. So there, someone may claim to be an incarnation of God, but the Lord has different markings on his body to prove that he's the Lord. When Lord Chaitanya appeared in Navadvipa in the house of Sachimata, they saw the Lord's footprint on the floor, and there was only the baby there and Shalgram. So they couldn't understand whose footprint they were, because the Lord's footprint had all these markings on it. So they thought it was the Shalagram, footprints of the Shalagram. But actually, they realized later that it was actually the footprints of Lord Chaitanya. So these lotus feet of the Lord is a topic revealed in Srimad Bhagavatam, discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam 4,661 times. And the lotus feet of the spiritual master, the lotus feet of the Vaishnava, is also very precious. The lotus feet of the Vaishnava and the dust from the lotus feet of the Vaishnava. These are very powerful substances. Once Lord Chaitanya had a fever, and he couldn't break his fever. They tried so many things. So he said, you wash the feet of a Brahmin. So they washed the feet of Brahman. Lord Chaitanya drank that water, and his feet subsided. That was not a Mayavadi Brahman. That was not a Smarta Brahman. But that was a Vaishnav Brahman, a pure Vaishnav, devotee of the Lord. So then when we speak of Brahman, we speak of Vaishnav Brahman, who's a devotee of the Lord. There's a distinction. Someone may be a Brahman, have all good brahminical qualifications, but if he's not a devotee of Krishna, then he can never do any benefit for anyone. He cannot deliver anyone, even his own himself, or even his own family members or himself. So a Brahman must be a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is superior to a Brahman. Anyone, no matter what kind of situation he's born into, if one qualifies himself, he can become a Vaishnav or a true devotee of Krishna. So we sing every day, two times a day. We sing Samsara Dava, Narali Loka, one day Garoshi Charana Arvinda. I worship the lotus feet of the spiritual master. At Guru Puja, Sri Guru Charana Padma, Kevala Bhakti, Sadma, at the lotus feet of the spiritual master is the only way to attain pure devotional service. So in the, not only Krishna's lotus feet are very auspicious, but the Guru's lotus feet also are very auspicious. And if a Vaishnava comes to your house, exalted Vaishnava, comes to your house, if you're a householder, then the first thing, then you should try wash his feet with his permission. Prithu Maharaj, when the four Kumaras came to his house, he took off his royal dress, put on deer skin, washed the feet of the four Kumaras, and sprinkled that water on his head and on his family members to show the proper etiquette of receiving a pure Vaishnava. The gopis were also always desiring to get the dust from Krishna's lotus feet. And when they go to the forest and they see the kumkum from Krishna's feet, they would smear that all over their body to relieve their lusty desires. Of course, those weren't lusty desires. Those were spiritual lusty desires. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, many places, it is described. It says, the lotus feet of the Lord are by themselves a shelter for all places of pilgrimage. The clear-minded sages, carried by the winds of the Vedas, always search after the nest of your lotus-like face. Some of them surrender to your lotus feet at every step by taking shelter of the vast rivers, the Ganges, which can deliver them from all sinful actions. Oh, my Lord, persons who smell the aroma of your lotus feet, carried by the air of Vedic sound through the holes of the ear, accept your devotional service. For them, you're never separated from the lotus of their hearts. When the breeze carrying the aroma of tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the personality godhead enter the nostril of the four kamaras, they experience a change in body and mind, even though they were attached to the impersonal Vermont understanding. The gopis spoke thus, "Dear Lord, whose navel is just like a lotus flower, your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen into deep well of material existence. Your feet are worshipped and meditated upon by great mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We wish that these lotus feet may also be awakened within our heart, although we are only ordinary persons engaged in household affairs." And it also says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, "Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can attain freedom from material existence. Indeed, by simply chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one will be able to see the lotus feet of the Lord." And in the Rig Samhita, it says, "The lotus feet of Lord Vishnu are the supreme objective of all demigods. These lotus feet of the Lord are as enlightening as the sun in the sky." So there's many, many more quotes and references to the lotus feet of the Lord in Srimad Bhagavatam. But Chittaketu, he was able to get the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord only after 1 week. He fasted and drank water for 1 week. But this is called Kripa Siddha. There's Sadhana Siddha, there's Nitya Siddha, and there's Kripa Siddha. The devotee, by practicing his sadhana very rigidly for many, many years, we don't know, it may take a few lifetimes, contain perfection. That's Sadhana Siddha. And then there's Nitya Siddha, those the eternal associates of the Lord who come down with the Lord to assist in his pastimes. And before we read in the Krishna book, before Lord Krishna took birth, he told the demigods to take birth and to assist him in his pastimes. And many of his eternal associates also came from Golok Vrindavan to assist him in his pastimes. So these are Nitya Siddha devotees. And when Lord Chaitanya appeared, he also is the eternal associate, like Ramananda Roy and Subhadamadar, or Lilita and Vishaka. They came to assist Lord Chaitanya in his pastimes. And although they are gopis in Krishna Lila, they took male forms in Gaura Lila, because Lord Chaitanya was a sannyasi and he did not associate with women. So if they took women bodies, they couldn't assist the Lord in his pastimes. So for the sake of assisting the Lord in his pastimes, they took male bodies. And many of the other associates of the Lord are Nitya Siddha devotees. But Maharaj Chittaketu, he got Kripa Siddha. He got the mercy of the Lord in only 1 week. And this is compared to getting a university degree without going to school. Some people make academic achievements, which the school appreciates, so they give someone a degree without going to school. But this is rarely given. One cannot expect that he can sit at home and just enroll in the classes, not go to class, and not study the books, and get a degree. This will not happen. But occasionally they give someone an honorary degree. So this Kripa Siddha was the word to different personalities like Jagai and Madai. Jagai and Madai were so sinful that when Yamaraj told his scribes to write down the sins of Jagai and Madai, there was 1,000 scribes. After 1 month of writing down the sins, they said, "We can't do it. It's an impossible task." So Jagai and Madai were very, very sinful persons, but the only sin they had not committed, only offense they did not commit, was Vaishnava Aparad, believe it or not. They were in Navadvip, where Lord Chaitanya appeared, and you would see me, they would have committed Vaishnava Aparad. But they didn't commit Vaishnava Aparad, so the Lord agreed to deliver Jagai and Madai. And when Jagai and Madai were delivered from their sinful activities, they immediately started chanting 2 lakhs of the Maha Mantra every day and became great devotees. This is called Kripa Siddha. And there are many other examples of Kripa Siddha. The four Kumaras is mentioned here. When they went to Vaikuntha to see Lord Vishnu, just by smelling the aroma of the tulsi leaves offered to the Lord, they were converted from impersonalists. Now there's the three kinds of realization, or three have the absolute truth: Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So they were Brahman realized. This says, Bhagavad Gita says, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasoshiti Nakanchati Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Ma Bhaktim Lagre Param. So one may be Brahman realizes not his body, but that is not complete realization. So Sukadeva Goswami was also an impersonalist, and the four Kumaras were impersonalists. They had Brahman realized, and the 9 Yogendras were also Brahman realized. They knew they weren't their bodies, they knew they were spiritual, but they didn't know the ultimate goal was the Supreme Personality, Godhead. So by the grace of Lord Vishnu, the four Kumaras, by smelling the tulsi leaves offered to his lotus feet, they became Vaishnavas, or pure devotees of the Lord. So in this way, the devotees get opulence, they don't misuse it, it's the mercy of the Lord. If they misuse it, it is the gift of Maya to keep them in the material world. The devotee uses what he has in the service of Krishna, it's purifying, and it will help him to make advancement. So we should only accept the bare necessities of life for our maintenance, for our living. Even Magrari the hunter, he got the mercy of Lord Narada Muni. This is also Kripa Siddha. He was a fierce, angry hunter, and he was in the habit of half-killing animals. So Narada Muni told him, "You should stop this business." But then he said, "Well, how will I get my maintenance?" He said, "Don't worry. You just build yourself a hut, live on the bank of the river, worship Tulsi, and I'll take care of all your maintenance." So he did that, him and his wife. Narada Muni told him, "You just take one cloth, give away all your possessions, and just live in this hut, chant Hare Krishna, worship Tulsi." So this Brahmin, this hunter, became a great Vaishnav. When people heard this, they were amazed, and they started bringing him so many different things. So Narada Muni came there with his friend, Parvati Muni, and when they came to see Magrari the hunter, instead of offering obeisances, he was jumping up and down. So when they got to him, they asked him what he was doing, what's the problem? He said, "Well, I didn't want to step on any ants." So this cruel, vicious hunter who his whole life spent half killing animals, didn't even want to kill an ant, may becoming a Vaishnava. This is Kripa Siddha. And Prabhupada writes in the purport there that we should accept prasadam on a daily basis, and we shouldn't save anything for the following day. We should only, whatever comes that day, we should accept that, and whatever is left at night, we should give away. And we should simply depend on the Lord for our maintenance. And Magrari the hunter told Narada Muni he was getting too much prasadam. So Narada Muni said that, anyway, to whatever you should just give away whatever you can't utilize. In the same way, devotee, whatever you get on the one day, we should only not save anything for the next day. Of course, this doesn't apply to householders. People have family and children, they can't expect them to follow that. But for brahmacharis and sannyasis, we can follow that to the, not rigidly. Of course, if we have to travel, or if we have health problems, may not be possible. But in any case, the main thing is to depend on Krishna every day. Krishna's sending food for the elephants, 100 pounds of grass every day. He's sending food for the ant, one grain of sugar every day. So as human beings, we should not think Krishna's not supplying all our necessities. So those are two topics, Krishna's lotus feet and Lord giving opulence. Now I have to go in the kitchen. Our time is up. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Now we can all bow down at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, as Dina Bhana will say, at the soft and gentle lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada.